I've noticed that children, when meeting each other for the first time, will often ask, "What's your name?" They want to know what to call you as they begin to get to know you. So what is your name? What are you called? Now, I have been called by many names over my lifetime. I've been known as Lyle Richard, Frank and Irma's son, Jerry's brother, Cheryl's husband, Heather and Rick's dad, Pop-Up, and yes, even Pastor Lyle. Many names for the same person. As I thought about names, I realized that in many ways they are about relationships, and they're also about identities, and they can be about control. When you know someone's name, you know who they are. In your mind, there is a place for them. When you don't know someone's name, you don't know who or whose they are, and so you don't have a place to put them. Names give value and importance, and in some ways, when you know someone's name, you have a claim on them. I have spoken previously about the importance of names in scriptures. Names have meanings. Let us look at our readings today in light of those named and those unnamed. At the very beginning of our reading today, we hear that a new king came to power in Egypt. He did not know the name of Joseph. How could he not know the name of the man who saved Egypt? How doesn't Pharaoh know his own history? He doesn't know his own people's story. And he sets his people against one another. He sets up oppression. And the Egyptians follow the lead of their king. And yet, as bad as they are, God keeps blessing his own people, the people he has named as his chosen ones. They grow in number, frightening the king, who orders that they be worked even harder. He even directs the building of two cities, Pithom and Ramesses, to store the results of their labors. Now in Hebrew, Pithom refers to a mouth of great depth that swallows everything good that we do. And Ramses means the bad spirit that melts all the good. Now those names were certainly accurate from the perspective of the Israelites. It is then that we hear of the killing of male babies. But two of the slaves of Pharaoh's daughter do not do that. She is not named, but they are. They were the midwives. Shifra, the beautiful one, is identified with Jochebed, the mother of Moses. The name refers to the fact that as a midwife, she beautified the children which she delivered. And Israel multiplied exceedingly as the result of her actions, and that she performed duties that were pleasing to God. Puah, the girl, assisted her, and in reward for their heroic and virtuous behavior, God established households for Shipra and Puah, which probably means that they became the matriarchs of enduring families in Israel. And in our readings for today, we heard that Moses' name meant that he was drawn out of the water. It was certainly an appropriate name, for he was taken from a woven basket out of the Nile River. As we can see, names give clarity and meaning to stories. Names matter. Many years later, Moses sees the burning bush as he tends the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro. God identifies himself from the burning bush, saying, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are opposing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Moses was having an identity crisis. And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this on this mountain." And Moses, the persistent questioner, then asks, "Who shall I tell them it is that sends me?" God answers, "I am who I am." An alternative translation reads, "I will be who I will be." There is power in that name. I have seen and heard, and I will come down to deliver. Is it just me, or is there a hint of the gospel here? God knows, and God comes down. It's worth noting that observant Jews will not say the name of God. We have all heard God referred to as Yahweh. But there are no vowels in Hebrew. So when it was translated, vowels were added so that the name could be pronounced. Observant Jews will refer to God as the name. Jesus told the Sadducees that they didn't know their Torah when they questioned him about the widow who married seven brothers. When they asked him, "Who would her husband be in heaven?" he replied that God was the God of the living, not the dead. Today, let us recognize the power of the name, the God of the living. For you are the children of the living God, drawn out of the waters of your baptism. Let us carry the name as we walk through life. When we recognize people by name, when we ask their names as we meet them, we're saying they matter. You matter so much that Jesus came down to save us. The scriptures, when taken together, teach us three things. First, it's God's love for us is told in a story of creation and of recreation. Secondly, our story of belonging in the family of God who loves us, sees us, and hears us, and who is with us. And finally, the power of God is told as a story of God working through unlikely people and institutions. There is power in the name. Believe it, live it. Amen.